Good morning. If you're looking for a seat, come on in and find one. You're very, very welcome on this lovely sunny Pentecost Sunday. And there's lots of special things happening later on today. At 1 o'clock, there is a picnic in the park, if you'd like to go and join in with that. And then at 2 o'clock, there is a service of worship, Pentecost Praise in the Park. And you would be very, very welcome to join in with that. There are hundreds of these events going on up and down the country today. And if you'd like to be part of that, then please do. However, ours is different. Those of you who are here from Boats of Hope, can I just ask you to stand up? Go on, you won't mind doing that for a minute, will you? During the course of this afternoon's event, 13 narrow boats will be mooring up in Victoria Park. Do sit down, thank you. And they will be there all week long. The people who've brought them here have done so out of a sense of calling and mission to bring the gospel to Newbury. So go and visit them. Go and say hello to them. Go and step onto the boats. Make the most of them being here this week. You're all very welcome. We're glad that you're here with us in Newbury this week. So, Pentecost Sunday. And yet again, we worship in church on the morning after the night before. 7 people dead, 48 people injured in the attack in Borough Market. But today is Pentecost Day, when the Spirit comes. Today is Pentecost Day, when a bunch of ordinary people are given the Spirit of God that they might start to change the world. Today is Pentecost Day, when old promises become new currency. Afterward, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. In this we believe, still today. Stand and sing together over all the earth.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again. Over every thought, my life reflects the beauty of my Lord, cause you mean more to me than any other thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in
questions, your truth will
fire before us. Fire before us. You're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Fire before us. You're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Fire before. Fire before us. You're the brightest.
Please sit down and we're going to pray together. Father, indeed, we pray that you would be just that lighthouse for us today. That you'd be that lighthouse for us here, gathered in this church. That you'd be that lighthouse for all those who visit the Boats of Hope over the next week. That you would be that lighthouse for those who mourn the loved ones they lost last night. For those waking to a morning in hospital, unsure what's happened. For the emergency services called into action yet again at the blink of an eye. Father, in our darkness and in theirs, we ask today that you would be our most glorious light. Amen. Now, let me move this out of the way. And could we lose the lights, please, Steve? Let's get rid of the lights for a minute because we're going to need to do without. Now, I don't have the prayer bag with me today. And I don't have the science box, and I don't have the story box. But I do have one that I've saved specially for today. It's this one. So come and have a look, and in a minute I'll show you what's inside it, but I want to tell you a bit of a story first. It is sparkly, and what's inside is even more sparkly, but you can't see it quite yet, all right? There's plenty in here. There are 40 of whatever it is that are in here, so there's definitely one for all of you. Let's sit down for a minute, Then I'm going to get you to line up, and then you can have what's in the box, all right? But I want you to think back a long time before you were born, and before your mums and dads were born. I know that seems like a long time. Way back, right to the very beginning of everything. And it was all light and beautiful and lovely. And then it all went wrong. And all had to go and leave the garden behind. And then the flood came, and it was all muddy and yucky and horrible. And then for hundreds and hundreds of years, people kept saying, prophets kept saying, it'll be all right one day. It'll be better one day. And then John the Baptist came, and he said, it'll be better one day. Jesus is coming. And then Jesus came, and he said, it'll be better one day. The kingdom is coming. And he said, when my spirit comes, which happened on Pentecost Day, it says, when my spirit comes, then you'll see what you've not been able to see till now. When my spirit comes, it'll be like as if you've lived your life in black and white, and suddenly it's all going to turn into colour. And that's what happened on Pentecost Day. Now, what I need you to do, can you all stand along here facing the church? Because I'm going to give you one of these each in a minute. So you all need to stand in a long line along that step there. Come on, so shuffle along to get some room for everybody. Oh, we'll have to on several steps. That's all right. Now, I'm going to tell you what to do, but you really need to do it, all right? In a minute, I'm going to get you to take one each of the thing that's inside here out. Don't do anything with it. Don't lift it up. Don't just hold it, yeah? Okay, that's all I need you to do at the moment. So just take, I'll give them to you. Look, there you are. There's one for you. And there's one for you. Just hold it at the moment. Don't do anything. One for you. One for you. Just hold it in your hands at the moment. One for you. There you go. Brilliant. So just don't do anything. Just hold it. Don't, you know, wave it about or eat it or, you know, not that you would. You're far too sensible to do that. There we go. We're nearly there. Do you want one? There you go. Now, what I am going to get you to do, once everybody has got one, I'm going to get you to count to three and then do something rather special. There we go. There you go. How many more do we need? One, two, three, four. Now, what I'm going to get you to do is this. When I count to three, I want you to put that up to your eye and look at that cross up there, but not until I say it, all right? You ready?
Yeah.
Ready? So you're going to hold it up and you're going to look. One, two, three. Have a look. Good. Try again. Put them down. So it all looks ordinary. Now, when I count three, hold it up. Look at the cross. One, two, three. Now, I want each of you to find a grown-up and give them what you're holding in your hand. We're going to get them to do the same thing. So just go. It doesn't have to be mum or dad. Just find a grown-up and give them what's in your hand. I've got some more here you can give out. Do you want to go and give some more of them out? Okay. So, same applies to the grown-ups. I'm going to count to three. Then I'll get you to look at the cross on the back of the church there. Who's missing out? Do you want to go? Oh, you're missing out. And you get the last one. Ah. Right, so if you've got one, if you'd like to turn around towards the cross, and on a count of three, I'm going to get you to lift it up and look at it. Ready? One, two, three. Pretty good, eh? Those of you who haven't had a go, pass it to the person next to you. One, two, three. Isn't that fabulous? Like I said to the children, all those promises that seemed like they were in black and white, suddenly on Pentecost Day, they're full of colour. And the Spirit comes and everything is transformed. It's all about the light. All about the light. Let's stand up and sing together. Shine, Jesus, shine. And I'm going to ask someone to collect those up for me whilst we sing. Would you mind going round? If you pass them to the end of a row, then we'll collect them up from you as we're singing. Thank you very much. Let's stand to sing.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Father's glory, place, Spirit, place, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let them shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness.
Shine on me. Shine on me.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Jesus.
Please sit down. Perhaps those going out to the different groups would like to do so. So as the last ones make their way out, I'm going to ask Pam to lead us in intercessory prayer. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for all the gifts you give us, for the beautiful world in which we live, the mountains and pastures, the might of the sea which leaves us in awe of your power. The sun which gives us light and warmth, the rain which gives water, the food we eat which can be grown because of these two gifts, the flowers and trees and the birds that sing their beautiful songs and make our spirits soar. For our homes which give us protection and comfort, our family and friends and the love which we share, but most of all for the gift of your Son, our Saviour. The chorus of the one hymn sums it up. We thank you, O our Father, for giving us your Son and sending his Spirit till the work on earth is done. We pray for our town of Newbury, which in worldly terms is affluent, but as in the case in the world today, spiritually poor. Help us as a church community to share your love with all our neighbours, colleagues in the workplace, friends who do not know you, and wherever we may find ourselves. May our words and deeds reflect your love so that they may see that life can be different. May we in our busy lives remember those who are homeless and lost. May all the people who work with them be given the wisdom they need to deal with the situations they meet. May they keep uppermost in their minds that they are your children and you are sorrowing about the chaos in which they live and treat them with love and respect. Give our councillors wisdom as they make decisions which will affect the future development of the town. May they realise that Newbury has been a prosperous market town for centuries and not do more to lose this character. We pray for our country, especially as we come up to the election of a new government. You have all things in your hands. May the people you choose be elected. Give them the wisdom they need for the Brexit negotiations and for all the other pressing things that need to be done to make our country a safer, fairer place in which to live. May they be able to find ways of dealing with the evil doctrine that is ISIS, while emphasising that Islam is a peaceful religion, not the perverted doctrine that is being practised by the bombers. May we treat our Muslim brothers with respect. Hold the people of Manchester and London who have lost family members in your arms. May those who have horrific injuries, both mental and physical, be given the strength they need in the days to come to integrate back into society. May the love shown to them by strangers on the night continue. Thank you for all our emergency services and their skills, for the police, MI5, MI16, who keep us safe by their surveillance. We are able to worship you in safety, unlike our Christian brothers in other nations. Keep them close to you and bring about changes in those societies, enabling them to have the same freedoms as we do. Father, we pray for our church community. Hold those who mourn in your arms, comfort them, give them peace. For all those who are ill, we pray that healing will take place. For those who are awaiting test results, which they fear may not be good, may they know the peace that comes from putting their trust in you. Lord, as we go forward with development of our witness in the local community, may your will be done. Thank you for all the work now being done. May we see the fruit coming from this. Lastly, but not least, be with Richard and Fiona. Hold them in your arms. Give them strength to live from day to day, and the peace that comes with knowing that you are walking the road with them. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We continue to pray as we stand and sing together before the throne of God above, and at the end of that we'll receive the offering. Thank you.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. The great high priest, whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is written on his hands. My name is hidden in his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no power can force me to depart. No power can force me to of the guilt within. Would I look and see him there? He made an end to all my sin. Because the sinner Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. Oh God, a just is satisfied to look on.
Father, so many blessings, so many answered prayers, so many hopes meeting on the brow of Christ, and we are indebted to you. Father, accept these tokens of our thanks, we pray, and push the kingdom on that it might grow. We bring you our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks to the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things, His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Verse 2, with a mighty hand. With a mighty hand, and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For of the life that's been reborn. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. God is faithful.
Do you please sit down as Roger comes to read to us. Thank you, Roger.
The reading is from Acts chapter 2, commencing at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Thank you, Roger. Early this week at the Hay Book Festival, it emerged that the Bank of England has been using Dr. Seuss, as in the Cat in the Hat, as an example for their staff in writing clear directives for those who need them. Well, a newspaper columnist got hold of this idea and decided to rewrite some other things in the style of Dr. Seuss. So here is the apology from British Airways for what went on last weekend. The plane is not leaving, we're sorry to say, and check-in is heaving, it will be all day. Your plane to Barbados is stuck in Mumbai. Your bag's in Honduras, the crew's in Dubai. Or here was the other attempt at a party manifesto in the style of Dr. Seuss. Brexit means Brexit, on that we agree, and if Brexit wrecks it, that's democracy. The people have spoken, their message was plain. England has woken and welcomes the pain. Well, you might not agree with any of that. And in general, we don't actually like things oversimplified. We resent it. Now, I was expecting to talk on the radio this morning about Pentecost in the Park. I ended up having to talk about what went on in Borough Market last night. I then ended up doing another interview on another radio station that I wasn't expecting to do specifically about that. And when you do that, you find yourself caught between two extremes. On the one hand, you want to be pithy, but on the other hand, you want to avoid oversimplifying. To be overly simple when life is complex can frankly just seem crass. But you know, at Pentecost, on that first day, the description of which Roger has just read out to us, at Pentecost, a very simple question was answered. It was a question which had been brewing ever since the day when John the Baptist said, "Someone's coming after me who'll baptize with the Spirit." It's a question that had been brewing ever since Jesus turned up and started talking about the kingdom. It's a question that had been there on everybody's lips ever since the day when Jesus said, "I have to return to heaven." But, and the question was this: does it work? You know, all that stuff and all those promises and all those prophecies, do they actually work? And Pentecost would begin to answer that question. You see, it was the end of the beginning. Long, long ago, the gates had shut on the Garden of Eden with a clang. And with only a sorrowful backward glance, God's clay dolls made real had taken their first tentative steps into an unconquered world. The conquest would prove to be a messy business. So messy, in fact, that it left a stain on their very souls. They could not bleach it or scrub it or cover it up. It went so deep and stained so dark that their very hearts grew sick. Sick of God and sick of each other. The cleansing waters of the flood washed over all the earth, and at the end of it, as a creaky, overcrowded boat settled on its keel, a rainbow stretched across the muddy planet like a banner, advertising better things to come. Not yet, it would seem. Spoiled egos, destructive pride, a bid for glory, and a shattered tower were to follow. Picking through the rubble of Babel's tower, people found that their understanding had been crushed in the fall. Now their mistrust of each other had a new vocabulary, which none of them could share. The hope was a long time coming. Prophets, bruised, bold, quirky, and quaking, passed it on. But it was a long time coming. It came in the end, in a tiny human form, so small that the high and mighty overlooked it. The child grew, the hope grew with him, and those in the know could hear its ever-growing sound, uneclipsed by the cross, made louder by the empty grave. This surely was when hope would burst the dam of the few and cascade down gloriously, drenching the many. Which is where our passage comes in. And Peter stands up and off the cuff, live interview, says, this is what is going on. Peter, we read verse 14, stood up, raised his voice, addressed the crowd and said, let me explain. Now, you can measure the beginning from all kinds of different places in the story of salvation. You can measure it from Genesis chapter 3, if you like, the fall, when Adam and Eve are driven out of the garden and God gives a half hint of a promise that something will be done about it. You can measure it from Genesis chapter 6, when the boat settles on the muddy top of the mountain and a rainbow stretches across the sky and God says never again. You can measure it from the arrival of the Old Testament prophets, every single one of them pointing off to the distance and saying, a better day is coming. You can measure it from the arrival of John the Baptist, this quirky individual who turns up baptizing people in the river and saying, I'm just the warm-up act. You can measure it from the arrival of Jesus telling stories of the kingdom. You can measure it from the moment when he hangs on a cross and looks down and says, it is finished. You can measure it from Resurrection Day when he bursts through the bounds of death itself and says, look what is possible. You can measure it from Ascension Day. But the proof of the pudding is right here, right now, on Pentecost Day. When people who've been divided since Babel fell suddenly find they have a shared understanding, and that list, I do apologize, Roger, for the names of all the different nationalities. And they all stood there, and all of a sudden, they start hearing the same message from God. Or maybe at that moment, when a prophecy which had been created 700 years before suddenly sounds as if it were written yesterday. And Peter says, verse 16, this is what the prophet was talking about. It's happening right here, right now, before your eyes. It's a moment when a fundamental change to their lives comes right here, right now, as God comes sweeping in and they press to the front of the crowd, verse 37, and say, we've heard and we get it. What have we got to do about it? When all of that stuff happens, then wherever you're measuring the beginning from, the end of the beginning has come. Because this wonderful rainbow grace of God comes cascading down on the gathered crowd on that day. And what seemed impossible in the words of Jesus when he says in John chapter 14, you lot are going to do greater things than me. Imagine that. What seems impossible when he breathes those words, all of a sudden starts to become possible. This is the end of the beginning. Twice this morning, on two different radio stations, I was expecting one of them, I wasn't expecting the other. Twice I was asked whether it was right for someone like me to stand up and preach about hope on Pentecost Sunday when 7 people are dead and 48 people are injured. And twice I said, yes, yes, yes it is. Why? Because Pentecost is the end of the beginning where God's people are unleashed and equipped with hope. And with a mandate to change a fractured world. So yes, it is right to talk about it. And I won't stop doing so. You see, Pentecost is the end of the beginning. But rather scarily, it's the beginning of the end as well. You see, for the first time since Eden, humanity becomes capable of something more than the ordinary. Infused with his spirit, the image of God starts to show through again, like an old master that's been hanging above an open fireplace for years, and all the colors have disappeared. But now someone's rubbing it, and they're starting to come out, and it's revealed under all those layers of soot. For those of you who didn't get a go earlier on, that's what the children were seeing. That's all the colours they were seeing through those little lenses. Yes, the end of the beginning has come, but it's the beginning of the end as well. Listen to what Peter says, verse 17 of Acts chapter 2. In the last days, God says. Oh, great, the Pentecost is the end of the beginning, but it is also the beginning of the end, because you see, from that moment on, the duty of spreading the gospel is conclusively handed over from the hands of Jesus into the people, the hands of people like you and I. From that moment onward, when Peter stands up and says, look, these are the last days, the clock is running. Now, Peter's a great, great example to us in this. Maybe he remembered Jesus' words, John chapter 20, where he says, you know, I now make you fully responsible. He breathed on them, breathed the Holy Spirit onto them, and said, what you bind up on earth is bound in heaven. Now go, declare the gospel. Maybe, I suspect he remembered even more Jesus' warning that Peter had only so much time left. Do you remember the breakfast on the beach? You know, and Peter plunges into the water and comes up and sits there with Jesus, and he tells him three times that he loves me, and that he loves him. And then Jesus says, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Was it that he remembered that he personally had only so much time left? I don't know, but goodness me, on this day that is the end of the beginning and the beginning of the end, he hits the ground running. You know, this strange thing is happening all around about them, and Peter stands up and seizes the moment, and looking out at a crowd far bigger than this one, he says, I'll tell you what's going on here. I'll explain this to you. And he shows this instinctive ability to interpret Scripture in the light of what is going on around about him. Oh, that is a gift we so need. I said to one of these interviewers this morning, it's my job to try and make God sense of what is happening. And that's exactly what Peter's doing. He looks around at the tongues of fire and the people speaking in different languages and something that none of them have ever seen. And he says, do you know what? This is just what Joel was talking about 5-6 centuries ago. So he shows this ability to seize the moment, and he shows this instinctive capacity for seeing what is happening in the light of what God has already said. And he shows a tremendous confidence in his understanding of who Jesus is. Verse 32, if you've got it open in front of you. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. That's not bad for an off-the-cuff comment, is it? But he shows this great ability to seize the moment. He shows this capacity to understand what God had been saying all along. He shows a great confidence that this is the Jesus we are talking about. He shows a great honesty too when he tells the people standing in front of him, and it's all your fault, and if you don't do something about it, you've got a problem. Verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And then when it comes to the clinch, when it comes to the buy-in, he says, and now you've got to do something about it. When they press forward and say, what shall we do? He says, and it's completely unadorned, it's very simple. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for your sins. You see, it's the end of the beginning. The baton is handed over, but it's the beginning of the end, and the clock is running, and people like Peter need to stand up and say, this is what we believe, and I'll tell it to you as long as you're prepared to hear. Pentecost is a reminder that we do not stand alone, but it's also a reminder that we do stand and must stand for Jesus until he returns. I was trying to explain to somebody earlier this week how long a journey it's been to get to this community conversation that we're having on the 17th of June. Lots of meetings and training calls and all sorts of stuff. And I've invested heavily in it. And over the years in different ministries, I've invested heavily in relationship building with the community beyond the church. And I'll carry on doing it. But friends, driven by the Spirit, I am on commission to serve the word of life, and nothing else will do. Even if it takes me lots of steps before I have the opportunity to express it. Every time something like last night happens, it's a reminder that life is short and that we cannot count on tomorrow as being the best day to share the gospel. Because actually, today is always the best day. It's a lovely story of, some of you would have heard it, I'm sure, of Forrest Gump arriving at the gates of heaven. And Peter says, well, I'll let you in if you can answer three questions. And the first one, he says, how many seconds are there in a year? And Forrest Gump instantly says, 12. And Peter Shaggy says, yeah, this is the 2nd of January, the 2nd of February. So that was right. What's the name of God? And Forrest Gump says, well, his name is Andy. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And then a third question, he says, which 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? And Forrest Gump goes, well, that's easy. Today and tomorrow. At which point Peter opens the gate and says, run, Forrest, run. None of us has tomorrow. We've only got today. And so now is the best time to share the gospel. Yes, in the right way, and yes, in the right spirit. But to share it right now, because the clock is running. Back to Dr. Seuss, where we started. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. Because the end of the beginning has come. But so is the beginning of the end. Many, many, many years ago, my great-great uncle, Richard Frederick Littledale, was a biblical scholar. And I'll tell you about him as we close. He wrote all sorts of peculiar books. There was Plain Reasons Against Joining the Church of Rome, published in 1880. Trifle biased, perhaps, that one. There's a scintillating read called On the Application of Colour to the Decoration of Churches, published in 1857. There was a rip-roaring read called Pharisaic Proselytism, a Forgotten Chapter of Early Church History, written in 1870. And there were lots more. In 1877, The Pantheistic Factor in Christian Thought. I won't be buying any of those anytime soon, I don't think. But he also translated the hymn with which we're going to finish the service. Come down, O love divine. And it says this, and so the yearning strong with which the soul will long shall far outpass the power of human telling. For none can guess its grace till they become the place wherein the Holy Spirit finds his dwelling. And when I get to heaven, I'll shake my great-great uncle by the hand and say, you had that one right. That's what we need to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Pentecost Sunday. Thank you for the end of the beginning. But we recognize it's also the beginning of the end, and we have only so much time. Fill us, drench us with your Holy Spirit, that we might be of use to you in building the kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
close with the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.